Okay. What I'm now about to do is to read you a series of things that Mr. Atzmon has said and written in his own words to reflect upon the problem that I had doing this debate. My own words, I think, can rest until we come to the question and answer session. Atzmon, there is no rise in anti-Semitism either. The diaspora Zionist Jew is simply devastated by the possibility that someone out there is as ethically corrupted and merciless as he himself proved to be. Atzmon on the credit crunch, speaking at the Cambridge Forum last September. How is it that America failed to restrain its wolfabitzes? How is it that America let its foreign policy be shaped by some ruthless Zionists? How come alleged American free media failed to warn the American people of the enemy within? Money is probably the answer. It indeed makes the world go round, or at least the American housing market. Throughout the centuries, Jewish bankers bought for themselves some real reputations of backers and financiers of wars and even won communist revolution. Though rich Jews have been happily financing wars using their assets, Alan Greenspan, the chairman of the Federal Reserve of the United States, had a far more sophisticated way to finance the wars perpetrated by his ideological brothers, Libby and Wolfowitz. Alan Greenspan planned to provide his president with an economy boom, assuming that prosperous conditions would divert the attention from the war in Iraq. Greenspan is not exactly an amateur economist. He knew what he was doing. We are talking here about Zionism, which is a Jewish diaspora ideological affiliation to a foreign national expansionist precept with global interests. As much as America and Britain wouldn't let a Chinese or German nationalist take care of their strategic planning, it should ban Zionists, or those who are suspected of being ones, from any proximity to their policymaking. It would be devastating to see innocent Jews being implicated collectively by the crimes committed by a very few tribal nationalist enthusiasts, but I do believe that as far as Jews are concerned, there may be a way out of it. Rather than celebrating their symptoms collectively and publicly, they would be better off working hard individually in searching for the meaning of universal ethical thinking in order to adopt it. Loving your neighbour and turning the other cheek is no doubt a good place to start. Interview. 1st of September 2008. The Jewish state is the ultimate threat to humanity and our notion of humanism. The nation's duty now is to peacefully dismantle that state before it is too late. We must do it before the Jewish state and its forceful lobbies around the world manage to pull us all into another global war in the name of one banal populist ideology or another. Democracy, war against terror, cultural clash and so on. For a few years, Jewish lobbies tried to silence the discourse that exposes this exact interference in Anglo-American politics. Indeed, I was one of the very few who stood up already in 2003. I wrote, "Who cares whether the protocols were genuine or not? With Levy and Wolfie, we have information about Elder Zio's flooding in. With Levy and Abraham's making the headline, the protocols are mainstream news rather than a remote Tsarist forgery." Interview. Now and then, you hear about one Jew here and one Jew there who is against it. But institutionally, this war is supported by world Jewry inside out. I think we are in a severe danger. We are fighting against the most powerful people on the planet. I don't have anything against people. I'm anti-Jewish, not anti-Jews. I think Jewish ideology is driving our planet into a catastrophe and we must stop. What they are doing brings so much rage in so many people, including myself. I never felt any anger or rage towards anyone except my people. So I think if I feel it, an Arab or Muslim or person who was ethnically cleansed or someone whose neighbours or kids have been wiped out, they're not going to forgive. I am not only a self-hating Jew, I'm a proud self-hating Jew. What is the difference between Jews and Christians, theoretically? Christians are basically Jews who love their neighbour. So they're committed to the universal concept of humanity, whereas Judaism is tribalism. The rockets are hardly dangerous. I think in 8 years they've managed to kill 6 people, yeah? The rockets are almost a peaceful message to the Israelis, telling them, in case you don't realise it yet, you're living on my stolen land. You can send a message in a bottle, and you can send a message in a rocket. He wants to amend the damage caused by those Jewish political strategies such as neoconservatism, such as the subprime mortgage crisis that was led by Alan Greenspan, who is not exactly a Rasta. Get it?
You think?
Once we are brave enough, to explore the Jewish question and Jewish identity, we may be able to understand that Israeli apartheid is not just political circumstances, it's actually a natural outcome of a particular racially orientated tribal philosophy. The Israeli war is not a political measure, but rather a manifestation of an exclusive racist attitude that stands at the core of the Jewish notion of segregation. Since Jews do not form a race, but largely succumb to some different forms of collective, racially orientated politics, we shouldn't be afraid of touching the matter. Once we take it as a given that Jews do not form a race, the study of Jewish identity and politics is neither racism nor essentialism. It's actually the very opposite. It is, in fact, a critical reading of racist ideology and its inherent supremacy. The Jewish tribal mindset, left, centre and right, sets Jews aside of humanity. It does not equip the followers of the tribal mindset with the mental mechanism needed to recognise the other. Why should they do it? They have done so well for many years without having to do so. How is it that people living today feel accountable or chased for a crime committed by their great-great-great ancestors almost 2,000 years ago? I assume that those Jews who get angry when blamed for killing Jesus are those who identify themselves with Jesus' killers. Those who would commit this murderous act today, those Jews are called Zionists, and they are already advancing into their sixth decade of inhuman crimes against the Palestinian people and the Arab world. With great shame, I have to agree that Israel's behaviour throws some light on the persecution of Jews throughout history. Perhaps it is time to dispose of the notion of Holocaust denial. Westerners are very concerned not to be associated with any form of Holocaust denial. In some countries, Holocaust denial is treated as a criminal offence. For years, I have argued that Holocaust denial is not a particularly interesting subject because as a notion it is far too wide. In practice, anyone who tries to oppose the official Zionist interpretation of World War II events instantly becomes a Holocaust denier. 20th of December 2003. I am here to announce as loudly as I can, there is no anti-Semitism anymore. In the devastating reality created by the Jewish state, anti-Semitism has been replaced by political reaction. I'm not suggesting that Jewish interests are not being mutilated and vandalised. I'm not saying that synagogues aren't being attacked, that Jewish graves are not being brutally smashed up. I'm saying that these acts, that are in no way legitimate, should be seen as political responses rather than racially motivated acts or irrational hate crimes. If Israel is the state of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people themselves do not stand up collectively against the crimes that are committed on their behalf, then every Jewish person, Jewish symbol and Jewish object becomes an Israeli interest and a potential terrorist target. It is up to the Jewish people to take a stand against their Jewish state and to dissociate themselves from their zealous national movement. Is the suggestion of conspiracy really an empty accusation? The following list is presented with pride in several Jewish American websites. Mr. Axman then gives a list of Jewish people supposedly in the Bush administration. Then says, let me assure you, in Clinton's administration, the situation was even worse. Even worse. The man nods. Even though the Jews only make up 1.9% of the country's population, an astounding 56% of Clinton's appointees were Jews. A coincidence? I don't think so. We had to ask ourselves what motivates American Jews to gain such political power. Is it a genuine care for American interests? It is beyond doubt that Zionists, the most radical, racist and nationalistic Jews around, have already managed to turn America into an Israeli mission force. American Jewry makes any debate about whether the Protocols of the Elders of Zion are an authentic document or rather a forgery irrelevant. American Jews, in fact Zionists, do control the world. So far they are doing pretty well for themselves at least.